fantastic.
Mad raving styly. I say, oomps.
Oops. Let the beat drop now.
Welcome to Lives of Pitch, the podcast where we pitch the best films that'll never get made. I'm Matt Turner.
And I'm Tom McGrath. And the game goes like this. We ask you, our devoted listeners, to come up with titles that you'd like to hear us pitch.
We then collaborate, coming up with story points, casting, and even marketing strategies.
Without further ado, this week's title is... Pneumatic Lovers.
Oh my good grief.
Pneumatic Lovers.
Pneumatic Lovers. It just like seems like such a 70s sort of like you'd hear it on Vice City Radio type vibe that. But that's not for Vice City Radio. Like, this is in fact a pitch for steampunk.
Steampunk films, yeah. That title given to us by Ed Crawley. He got in touch with us on Facebook at facebook.com/Lives of Pitch Podcast.
Thank you very much, Ed.
Thanks, Ed.
You can also find us on Twitter as well, at Life's a Pitch Show.
With us.
Hi. it's Shannon.
Hi, Shannon.
I'm back. You remember that Dog Justice episode? Well, I came back for more.
Do you remember Rough Justice? Because Rough Justice. I do, and I had a great time.
I loved it so much. And then I saw it was steampunk, and then I was like, take me back. I need to be here.
Shannon's back on the show, and we're happy to have her. Welcome
Thank
back.
Thank you. I'm glad to be back.
So yeah, we're pitching steampunk movies this week, steampunk being a genre.
Imagine Victorian Edwardian era, except steam is better than normal and you can make robots and airships.
Yes. Yeah. And a lot of brass, a lot of spikes.
Yeah. A lot of brass, a lot of spikes.
And petticoats, probably.
Petticoats,
yeah.
Yes.
Waistcoats, leather, monocles, goggles, top hats.
Everyone's walking around with like clockwork revolvers just on their belt.
Gears. Yeah. Gears everywhere, and but not extraneous gears, just gears are involved in most of the machinery.
Yeah. And blimps.
And blimps and waistcoats.
Mm. What's the difference between a blimp and a dirigible?
A blimp is just a kind of dirigible.
Okay.
Is it?
Yep.
A hot air balloon
is a dirigible as well.
Okay, right. Cool.
Zeppelin is a dirigible also.
I, you know what? I never knew I would come onto this podcast again and learn something new.
Please.
As I did.
If I'm wrong... Please actually tweet me at Matt Speaks Words. Tweet me personally and give me all caps fucking double tweet length.
You're wrong.
Rip into him for it.
Just tell me off. But that's what I think.
Okay, so do you want to hear some steampunk honourable mentions?
Yes.
Okay, so from James Cannon, we've got The Dirigible That Couldn't Slow Down.
Okay, have you heard about the kind of Isaac Newton thought experiment about the cannon tower?
No.
Where if you built a tower high enough, you could fire a cannon off the top, and the gravity and the arc of the cannonball would bring it all the way around the earth, and that cannonball would never stop because the gravity would pull it constantly all the way around,
right.
And it'd hit you in the back sort of thing.
Yeah.
What if that's the case for this dirigible? It hits such a speed that it will just never stop. Gravity just keeps on pulling it around.
It's good. Right, so we've got to cast this film. I'm thinking we need an action hero. It's like Speed.
Yeah, it is like Speed.
It's like Speed.
It's like Speed, apart from Isaac Newton is in it.
Yes.
Isaac Newton played by Dwayne The Rock Johnson.
Oh yes! My God, in a big curly wig.
Yes. Amazing.
And a waistcoat.
And they fire this dirigible out of a cannon.
Yeah, because like that's how they get to the moon in Trip to the Moon.
Oh, really?
Yeah, they fire a rocket out of a cannon.
Yes!
Dwayne The Rock Johnson is...
Isaac Newton. Sir Isaac Newton.
Yeah.
Is he Sir yet?
No.
Or is it? Is this Chaucer in A Knight's Tale?
Yes. Yes, this is how he gets knighted.
What era was Newton? Victorian?
No.
Early. Way before.
Yeah. You can tell that we're all brushed up on our scientific history here.
I've not got any metal up in there.
Anyway, Doesn't matter. So we've got celebrities from around the steampunk era.
Yeah. Well, I'm thinking, like, you've got, like, a mechanic there who's working with him. It's, like, Bob Hoskins.
Yeah.
And he's like, oh, I'm just working on this design that you've made. Oh, it's, like, Renaissance. So you've got Da Vinci and stuff. Like,
yes.
And they're all working on this shit. And then... So Da Vinci played by Bob Hoskins is
I'm liking it
and he's like, oh, I'm just working on this last little bit of the propeller, and then we can get to building a tower with a cannon on it, Mr. Newton.
So it's the maiden voyage of this dirigible.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Designed by Isaac Newton and Da Vinci.
Da Vinci's designed the dirigible. Yeah. Isaac Newton has designed the cannon tower whole launching mechanism.
And
he's like the mastermind behind the actual keeping it up in the air type thing.
Yeah. So we've got it's the maiden voyage, the celebrity star-studded maiden voyage of of the first flight of the dirigible.
Yeah.
Yep. So what celebrities have we got on there? We've got Henry VIII.
Played by
James Corden.
James Corden.
Oh my god. How have we never clicked those two together?
In heaven.
We've got
who else do we have?
Sir Walter Riley.
Wow, you are really going all over the place with this history.
Yes. Yep.
I don't care.
It's steampunk era. Undetermined time.
Played by
Chris Pratt.
All right,
yeah.
If you want.
He's American in this one.
I mean, wait, Henry VIII's daughter was the one who was...
Walter Riley.
Yeah.
I think it was about 50 years after
yeah.
he died. Maybe
so,
less.
James Corden and Chris Pratt, of course.
Yes.
No, so Walter Raleigh, played by one of the kids from Stranger Things.
I'm going to be an adventurer.
Lil Walt.
Lil Walt, yes. We've got...
Can Darwin just be there?
Yeah.
Darwin.
He's not for another 100 years, 200, 200 300, 400 years.
See, that's the thing. Originally, in this movie, he's actually meant to be travelling on the... I cannot say the word. What is it?
Dirigible.
Dirigible. Yeah. He's meant to be actually travelling on this instead of the boat. he's actually one of the main cast, one of the characters.
He's off to write Origin of the Species.
What
happens at the end of this film is that it doesn't slow down and they go through a wormhole and get scattered throughout history.
And that's why.
Yep, that's it.
It's a time travel movie. Yeah. What a twist.
But I just have this image of like them getting into this big giant tower, like a space tower sort of thing, firing this cannon, this tiny little thing. There's like two towers, one next to the other.
Mm. Yeah.
A big, and then the cannon fires the actual dirigible in this like compact form, like a big cannonball cube.
Yeah.
And then it fires it out, and then that, when it hits a certain speed, like goes shum, like a self building tent, you know, like one of those ones you throw and it just goes zoom.
Yeah.
And then as it's moving, everyone has to jump onto it from the next tower.
And that's where the action element comes in.
Yeah.
But like I think yeah. Dwayne The Rock Johnson, Newton at some point makes a calculation that we're never going to slow down. We're never going to speed up either, but we're never going to slow down, so none of us can get off this dirigible.
But then, like, they're like, we're never going to slow down, and they have this whole thing of, like, trying all these things to try and slow down.
Yeah.
And they're, like, beating off enormous, because we can do this, giant, like, birds. That are just like trying to attack them and they're firing. Because it's like.
Darwin obviously identifies, let's say.
Yes, yeah. It's like they journey to the center of the Earth, right?
Yeah.
So, like, there's all this like monstrous stuff that's happening in the upper atmosphere because it's retrofuturist, so we can just assume that's correct.
There's a tentacle monster there.
Yeah, yeah. Well, yeah. Like leaning out of a cloud. and then they're like, wait, says Dwayne The Rock Johnson, we can't slow down. What if we could speed up? And then they just like start putting more and more coal into the
montage.
Engine.
Montage. I was feeling that in the time where they first discover that they can't speed up or slow down and they can't get off this blimp. Alice Cooper comes on from Aerosmith with the song from Armageddon. I don't want to miss a thing.
Oh no, did you have to ruin the film?
What? No!
I'm thinking Dwayne The Rock Johnson and Amelia Earhart have a romantic thing going.
Yeah.
And Dwayne The Rock Johnson has to sacrifice himself by jumping into the coal thing. To speed it up.
No.
So he's walking into flames while I don't want to miss a thing is playing.
You know that Sir Isaac Newton has to survive this, A.
Yeah.
And B, he has to die of some kind of gravity-related thing. So
you
know what
it
is that, like, they've run out of coal.
Yeah.
They're just about to go past the tower again.
Yeah.
Bob Hoskins has, like, got a big bag of... big bag of coal he's holding up waiting for, and someone's got to lean out and grab it, and so Dwayne The Rock Johnson like swings it up onto the deck and then falls.
I really like this idea where they're like, oh no, we've run out of fuel, let's take this bag of coal and drop it off the side.
No, it's Bob Hoskins is still on the tower.
Oh,
so he's like,
right,
he's like, they're going directly past it because it's exactly the same route.
Yeah.
Because wind isn't a thing. nor is steering. So no. They're doing exactly the same trajectory all the way around the world. They're about to come past again. Bob Hoskins is there like, oh no, I'll hold some fuel up. And then he's just like there, tiny little Bob Hoskins. Like,
the tower is too high for wind resistance to make any impact.
They're basically in space.
They've built an orbital elevator.
Oh, amazing.
An orbital stairwell.
So there you are. That's the dirigible that couldn't slow down.
Yep.
Okay. So from Dwat, we've got Neil deGrasse Tyson's Steamy Dreams. Nothing to do with steampunk, really.
Yeah, it is.
We've got to make it steampunk, but also, like...
Well, Neil deGrasse Tyson's a physicist, right?
Yes.
An astrophysicist, specifically.
Okay.
So what if, in doing a show where they're talking about, like, he's visiting CERN, mm-hmm. doing a documentary about what's going on in CERN, and he gets collided with by a Higgs boson, and that takes him back in time into a parallel universe where suddenly it's like a romantic novel... like a steamy romance novel, but for Neil deGrasse Tyson in steampunk land.
he's on a steam powered pirate ship. He's this handsome, muscle rippling pirate, Neil deGrasse Tyson.
Neil deGrasse Tyson.
I was thinking though, Neil deGrasse Tyson would like land as Neil deGrasse Tyson.
Yeah.
On this pirate ship, and then out walks the captain, who's like
Catherine Zeta-Jones,
like always. A female, powerful yep. female pirate, who's like got one of them bandanas on, and yep. she's sort of like kicking someone off the plank. And she's like, "What the hell is that?" but this time she's doing her Welsh accent like normal.
Yeah,
rather
yay!
Than...
yay!
For the first time in history, Catherine Zeta-Jones is using her Welsh accent.
Yeah.
She's like, what the bloody hell is that?
Hello there, Neil deGrasse Tyson. That's not Welsh.
Hello there, Neil deGrasse Tyson. It's
That's
me,
more Irish.
Catherine Zeta-Jones.
Catherine Zeta-Jones.
Oh, I just like the idea of it's a Welsh pirate and not Bristolian.
Yeah.
There's no R-ing or anything because like, they just completely ignore it. It's just Welsh.
What would a Welsh pirate say instead of R?
What would they say?
Ooh.
And then you just get like a ship full of Bristolian pirates and a ship full of Welsh, and it's just like, ooh, R.
So Catherine Zeta-Jones.
Yep.
Finds Neil deGrasse Tyson appearing just on her boat in the middle of the ocean one time.
Yes. And there's sort of like a hit. She threatens to walk him off the plank, and then he's like, wait! You're lost, right?
You look lost.
You can navigate using the stars.
Exactly. That's where I was going.
Yeah.
Amazing!
My Neil deGrasse Tyson and my Jeff Goldblum impression are very similar.
So... she's like, okay, we'll keep you... All right, we'll keep you around for a little while, but first sign of you messing anything up and I'm kicking you off the plank like I did that other guy. They buy
Bill Nye.
Bill Nye
is just like, oh no.
Oh no.
Oh, Bill, they got you too.
I was in CERN.
And people at CERN are sending people back in time.
People at CERN are sending people back to pirate times on purpose. Oh, and then so they come across this huge... It turns out that there's the last thing they need to complete their job at CERN was lost hundreds of years ago to the sea. And the people at CERN have built a pirate ship of their own.
And then we're going to have a classic pirate battle.
I want to say...
Pirated by Brian Cox.
Yes.
Brian Cox and Nick Cage are like the two main CERN people, right?
Brian Cox, astronomer, played by Brian Cox, actor.
Brian Cox and Nick Cage were the first two scientists to go through here, right?
Mm. Uh-huh.
But they got stuck. They were trapped. they were trapped in the past, right? Which, because I'll remind you, this is a steampunk film.
Yeah.
They didn't have any of the technology to, like, do stuff, but they were like, we have to, because what happened is, we discover in a monologue, exposition monologue, it's actually a dialogue, because both of them are explaining it, but, like, Team Rocket style, taking a sentence at a time.
Oh, amazing.
They're like, we discovered that the boson was showing us windows to the past, and we tried to investigate. We knew that the thing we needed was this last, like, specific structure of artifact or diamond or something that they needed to fit into the thing. So they looked too deeply into this window, fell through it, and then sort of ended up back in the past, stuck there. They started changing history. And so they're becoming the most feared pirates on the sea, on the Higgs Maiden, like...
Because they've got dark matter running their ship.
Yeah, absolutely. Yes.
And they've also, like, got, like, all sorts of stuff that's, like... I don't know, if you were in pirate times and you had, like, knowledge of advanced physics and stuff, what would you attach to your ship?
A teleportation... thing.
No, so it's not steampunk.
So you could appear anywhere.
There's a thing that, like, a shield goes over it and they submerge.
Yeah.
So it's a sub-boat.
Sub-ship
boat, whatever manifestation we have created.
Catherine Zeta-Jones is like, oh yeah, we're looking out for the... I can't do it. Welsh accent.
Why do you think I'm not doing a Welsh accent? Yeah, I can't do one.
I've got to try.
Yes.
We're looking out for the scourge of the seas. They call it the Higgs Maiden. And then Neil...
The Higgs Maiden?
I know that word.
And then just then...
remember this word from?
Just then a giant metal beast appears, like, from
a big fin comes up first, and then
they try and shoot it down with harpoons and spears and stuff, but it's just doing no effect. And then it comes up, and then the whole shield pops down, Neil deGrasse Tyson is like, Brian, Nick, what are you guys doing here?
You guys went missing.
and they're like, he's like, what are you doing with all this technology? You can't change the past. This will ruin everything. You could destroy the whole world. And they're like, get out of our way.
we own the seas now.
Join us or die. Neil deGrasse Tyson.
Die, Grass Tyson.
You hear this, like, under the water. And then suddenly, like, like this mechanical fish, like, leaps out of the water and lands on the deck, sticking in there with, like, a kind of a swordfish drill bit onto the deck. And then he picks it up. He's like, what the hell is this? Opens it up, and there's just, like, clockwork gears all going round. Yep. And then there's just a little screen that's just, like, 10, 9, 8, 7.
So Neil deGrasse Tyson grabs Catherine Zeta-Jones and jumps onto their boat.
Leaving the entire crew just to die.
Yeah.
I was gonna say maybe he just disarms it or something.
No. He grabs her in his muscly, swollen arms.
Here's a compromise. Yeah. He sticks a screwdriver he had in his pocket, or he sticks Catherine Zeta-Jones' sword into the gears to disarm it, And then, like, as he does that, everyone's like, yeah, you did it, you did it, you did it. And then they finally accept him as a crew member. Mm. And Catherine Zeta-Jones is looking on lovingly. And then, but also like, ooh, I'm a tough captain, but I really like you to sit in the other grass.
So, directed by James Cameron, we've got to have that sort of, hate each other.
And then,
they love each other.
And then everyone's like celebrating, and then just suddenly like, thunk. There's like loads of these all appearing, so they have to abandon ship. Yeah. But he takes that one with him because they'll use that at the end to blow him up.
I was going to say what he does do because, you know, we've been talking about these gears. He manages to grab a gear from one of the main one. Yeah. Which will be later used by taking gears off of Catherine Zeta-Jones' outfit. and they make their
extraneous
own...
extraneous gears.
Yeah, and then he makes his own kind of robot, a squid, and that's where the Colossus squid is actually originates from in this time.
Yeah, they end up making the Kraken.
Yes.
Yes. The Kraken.
The Kraken! And it's just got like one central gear at the middle of its tentacle.
A more filled with gear.
Yeah, grind stuff up.
And like proper Power Rangers meets Godzilla right at the end. These two. The ship and the Kraken start having a fight.
And Nick Cage and Brian Cox have found the thing they're looking for. It's an alien artifact. And it's like the point in the universe is like the first atom in the universe is contained within this one crystal. And so like that's where it all came from. That's where the singularity sparked from. That's why the Higgs boson showed it them when they collided them. And so, because it's all traceable back to this thing, they're about to use it to rewrite history. And Neil deGrasse Tyson's like, no, this can never happen. He steals it from them, like, jumps into the center of the Kraken to, like, to do something to activate it.
Yeah.
And it basically, like, everyone else gets sucked into the Kraken, and he like, gets teleported back to the future without this artifact, but he's just back in a very much a 90s movie adventure romp sort of Pagemaster style.
Yeah,
like there's no, he's there on the floor of the CERN lab.
Yeah,
like absolutely no evidence that any of this actually happened. Mm. But then he's like, oh, must have all been a dream. And then he like goes, wait a minute, my hair's wet. And then, like, he's like, oh, it was all real after all.
Neil deGrasse Tyson's steamy dream.
Nice.
Okay, so yeah, that was all the honourable mentions for this week. Thank you to everyone who's given us titles. There have been so many this week. Like,
people seem pretty inspired by the whole steampunk thing.
Yeah.
But like, I think we're ready for a steampunk film, apparently.
Yeah,
absolutely.
But like, we've had so many new people as well come and write stuff that I've never seen before on the
awesome.
Thing. So yeah, the... yeah, thank you for your suggestions. Sorry we didn't get to them, but yeah, so many, so I only had to pick a few out. Remember, if you want to give us titles any time of the week, or just get in touch with us, you can find us on facebook.com/Life's a Pitch Podcast and Twitter at Life's a Pitch Show, as well as Instagram as well. I think that's also at Life's a Pitch Show.
Yeah, and don't let the fact that you didn't get on this week stop you from contributing to next week. Mm. We like to have as many as possible because, like, the more random, the better, frankly.
Yes, absolutely.
Anyway, so if you are enjoying the podcast, remember to go over and subscribe on whatever app you are using. But don't forget to, on that app, go to the reviews page and give us a 5-star review or whatever the maximum amount of stars are. We don't want 5 out of 50 stars.
Or do we?
Give us... No.
Oh, no, wait. No, we want 50 out of 5, if anything.
50 out of 5 stars, please. Yeah, thank you. And we would also like you to write a nice review because it really helps people find the podcast. And we're having loads of new friends join us in this community. And it's nice to see from them. It's nice to see them. It's nice to hear from them. And it's nice to have extra people coming in.
Yeah.
And of course, if you really like the podcast, you can of course like us on the social media. Tell your friends. Tell your friends.
Spread it like wildfire.
The plagues, please. Each and every one of the plagues.
Like, next time you see a friend,
yeah,
grab them by the wrist and go,
not like hard, like a bruise.
No, like
like a come with me, we're going on an adventure style
rap. Yeah, come with me if you want to live kind of way.
Yeah, but not in a threatening way like that.
No.
In a threatening way like that. And go, life's a pitch podcast. Google it.
Or, even better, if you're a student, go to your lecturer, steal their laptop, and then just destroy their presentation that they have prepared for the next lecture that they're doing, and just fill it with Life's a Pitch podcast.
Links to the Life's a Pitch podcast.
Exactly. Yeah. Just saying, do it over and over again with the senator meeting.
They just replace all the slides with just that.
Different episodes. Yeah, clips from different episodes. Yeah.
And the movie posters as well.
Yeah, people remember that.
Exactly.
And if you really, 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 really like the podcast and you want it to keep happening and you want it to keep getting better, you can always go over to patreon.com/Life's a Pitch podcast, where you can give us just a little bit of cash each month. To help the whole thing keep going, to help us pay for hosting costs, keep the lights on, help us be able to afford the time to continue making the podcast. And we want to keep making other stuff. So if you want to hear from us, we've got loads of ideas for stuff we want to do. We have just hit our first target on Patreon.
Yay!
Of $50 a month. Which means we'll be able to. That was a kind of vague first target thing, but we're basically going to be able to put a little bit more time into it, and hopefully that's also going to be going to getting us a Life's a Pitch studio. It's a place that we can sort of a central location from which we can podcast and have more time in the same place with our equipment and doing more stuff for just $1 a month. You can get in on the business of voting for what genre we have each month. So we have a poll every single week. You can vote on in that poll every week if you are just a $1 donor. So we're always happy to see that people joining in on that. Go over there. It's not even you wouldn't even notice it. It's less than a bus fare a month to support us for that much, and we really appreciate it. It helps us out immensely. Our next goal on Patreon is at $60, where we are going to be starting to produce and write the next season of Gritty Reboot. Ooh, which is about nice. a few writers, struggling screenwriters who are completely
out of touch,
creatively bankrupt. Yeah. I was going to say
creatively bankrupt and out of touch.
Yes, and out of touch, and their only recourse to making new movies is by rebooting old ones. So, if you want to see that little kind of audio drama thing, it's kind of like Life's a Pitch, except we have like characters, and we are just as creatively bankrupt. Then go ahead and help contribute to that, so we can get that off the ground.
Yeah, if you think that's a good idea, go over to Patreon, pledge some money. It does go a long way towards that goal. If you want to see that series be made, get over to patreon.com.
Sounds amazing.
Thanks to all of our current patrons.
Oh yes, we have on our Patreon patrons list. We've got Ross_Originals, My Waste of Talent, Brandon Spanky Mills, Joe Hegarty, Brent Black, Darius the Unsettling, Mihir Trivedi, and Alex Keane.
Thank you, guys. You are making the podcast better every single week.
Okay, so I've got something to do before we move on to the final pitch, which is Pneumatic Lovers. Oh. Thanks, Ed Crawley, for that title. It's the Yes Very Clever Award.
Ooh, yeah.
I'll play the sting.
Yes, very clever. There it is.
There it is.
That's the sting.
It's the Yes Very Clever Award. And this week's Yes Very Clever Award, not given to one we normally give to, because it's not based on any... Actually, no, it is. it is, but it's been twisted so much that I didn't recognise it. when I read it out, you'll probably say, why didn't you recognise that? But also...
Usually happens like that.
But also, it's a very good play on the genre title as well. And that is from Josh Cooper. The Yes Very Clever Award goes to the film Honey, I Evaporated the Sex Pistols.
What?
What? Oh, I love it.
Think about it.
Whaty, what? The Sex Pistols.
Yeah, think about it. It took me a while.
Punk.
Yes, steampunk.
Yeah.
Steam.
Steampunks.
God.
It's so clever.
It's
yes.
Yeah.
Oh,
very
Cooper.
Clever.
Yes. Josh. Very clever.
Good job, Josh Cooper.
Yes, thank you for that one, Josh. So, on with Pneumatic Lovers.
Ooh.
Oh, happy Valentine's Day.
Yeah, happy Valentine's Day.
You're all our Valentine.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh.
Sort of.
So nice.
Pneumatic Lovers. Da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da.
Bow, bow. Pneumatic Lovers. There are lots of them.
Boom.
They use...
This is the opening titles.
Gas, so compressed gas. We're doing to move.
Yeah.
Is that pneumatic?
They use steam to move.
Pneumatic Lover.
This music plays while the opening titles come up. It's one of those old films. That
Easy
plays.
Lover by who's Easy Lover? Is it Phil Collins?
Maybe.
Easy Lover. You know the one I mean, though, don't you?
Yeah, yeah.
Easy Lover.
That one.
So,
that whole thing plays.
Yep, in the beginning.
We cut to a steampunk New York.
Yes. I very much feel this is obviously about some steampunk robots.
Mm.
Fallen in love.
Yeah, well, steampunk
through binary code.
Not robots.
I don't think it's robots either.
I think we've got
steampunk prosthetics in this.
Yeah,
shit.
I think it's a mixture of the two. So John Travolta.
Oh, of course.
I'm thinking this whole thing has a massively 70s aesthetic.
Yeah.
So like oh my god. Okay, so let's retro futurize.
Okay.
What steampunk would be like if it were invented in the 70s, during the disco craze.
Yeah.
So,
what did they think was, like, super kind of forward-looking in the 70s?
I'm just thinking of fashion, so, like, giant flares could be, like, just giant mechanical boots on your legs. Like, the image I had when you were singing that song earlier... is just John Travolta strutting down the street, but his legs pump out, so he gets extra far with his struts.
You just see all of that hydraulic steam come off as he just walks.
Yeah, so...
You've got, like, the Doobie Brothers playing and stuff.
Yeah.
Like, and he's walking down, and you've got, like, that kind of Doobie Brothers aesthetic.
Mm.
Not it's like the soundtrack vibe and stuff. You've got, like... people wearing open cut tops.
Absolutely, yeah.
But it's just the waistcoat, like the leather waistcoat, and then open cut, nothing underneath, and then chains. But instead of chains, they're like dug into their skin.
Mm.
So like they've got like a mechanical heart at the center of their chest.
What you're describing there for a second was the Warriors.
Yeah.
Another 70s New York film.
There we go. Weird.
So we got steampunk New York going on.
Yeah.
Like people are building skyscrapers.
Mm. Yeah.
At the time, like, because remember, you go into the past in New York, it's got to be while Empire State's being built, right?
Mm. Yeah, absolutely.
So yeah, there's dirigibles flying around, and we've got every building in New York, but with a kind of Victorian Georgian feel to it.
Yeah.
Okay, so how does that work?
Gotham.
That sounds like Gotham, I was just about to say it's just Gotham. But bright, right?
Yeah.
Gotham, but like light.
Yeah.
Mm.
Not smog filled necessarily.
Yeah, pitched in darkness.
Yeah.
And you've got like lamps. That have, oh man, so lamps have like crystals in them.
Yeah.
That are, oh no, okay. You know the 70s vibe is like neon.
Yeah,
right?
Absolutely.
Neon lights and stuff in the darkness. It's like pipes with like coloured goo flowing through them. And so like you've got John Travolta has like this kind of like disco mantle on, but it's sort of like out of his chest, out of where these medallions are flowing like three colours of goo, which go back and down the sides of his tracksuit and down into his legs, which is then pumping out this sort
Everyone
of
Everyone looks like they're covered in crazy straws.
Yes. And as he pumps that out, a little like burst of like coloured steam comes out the bottom of his shoes.
I love it.
So it's like he's causing his own laser light show to happen around him. And he's like the coolest dude around. We need a scrappy up and comer though to dethrone him, because we find out he's a bad guy, because there's a Coke allegory in this somewhere.
Okay, yeah, somewhere. Who is our scrapper? Who is our underdog in this? If you have John Travolta as like popular
Kevin Bacon.
Kevin Bacon.
Yep.
Yep.
Straight off Flashdance.
Yeah.
Straight into Pneumatic Lovers.
Yes. Yeah. So
I'm pretty sure Flashdance was 80s, but okay.
Don't care. Don't care.
No.
That's why we got there during the 70s, while Kevin Bacon was still young, and John Travolta was a little bit older.
Yeah.
So that you have this sort of like thing, right?
So is there like a dance off or something?
Yeah.
Or like at the disco hall.
Yes, I think that Kevin Bacon doesn't have all these mechanical parts. John Travolta is totally modded, right?
Oh, so it's like almost like the cosmetic industry, but instead of plastic surgery, it's getting crazy straw pipes and steampunk modifications done.
Travolta's the disco king.
He's the disco king because of the hydraulic legs that he's got were specifically made for him to be the best dancer ever.
They call him Piston Pete, the disco king.
Piston Pete, the disco king.
Yes.
Yes, that's what John Travolta's called. He's got like a giant crown, which is on him all the time because he can't take it off.
Yes.
It's part of the aesthetic of him.
Can it also be shaped like a pineapple? Just like that. Yeah. That kind of the greens, like
spiky,
the head.
Yeah.
And then there's this pipes going round it with jewels embedded in it. Everything.
In fact, it's not all the way round shaped like a pineapple, but it's just the back.
Yeah, exactly.
He's got like a kind of a back plate to his head.
Oh,
where he's got like
that big
hair and then the back plate to his head and it and. Yeah, so we've spent a long time describing John Travolta.
Yes.
Kevin Bacon is like, he's wearing your regular steampunk disco outfit, which is not something...
your regular steampunk disco outfit.
I wear that every Friday. I don't know what you're on about.
It's just like a leather kind of doublet type thing. So he's wearing like a doublet, regular like flowy sleeves.
Yeah.
But then he's got like a waistcoat on, which is like embossed, and then he's just got like quite shiny trousers on that are very tight.
Cool. Does he have a top hat?
He's not fancy enough.
He's got a top hat with a hole in it.
This is our Luke Skywalker, right? Yeah. So he's like very much a sort of
a bowler hat then.
But it is lore that every single person in steampunk has to have a top hat of some kind.
I think a pineapple crown.
Or a pineapple crown, which is the exception.
I think a bowler hat's better.
Okay,
like a little smaller, less extravagant.
You know what? I'll take bowler hat. Take bowler hat.
Is that or pork pie? You can make your decision.
He's got a cracked monocle as well.
Yeah.
Found on the street.
And
it used to be his grandfather's, who was the original disco king.
Yes.
You know, I worked this in.
Yeah.
And so he's gone to this disco hall because he knows that Piston Pete is going to be there.
Piston Pete is going to be there. I'm never going to get tired of saying that.
He's such a fan of Piston Pete. Which is Kevin Bacon. Piston Pete the Disco King, that he goes to this club. He's like following him around. He's heard that he's going to be there and he's so excited. And he's like, oh boy, I can't believe Piston Pete's going to be here. His friend, played by...
Emma Stone.
Emma Stone, good. She's like, I don't know why you're so into...
Yeah.
I don't know why you're so into Piston Pete. You know, he's just a big flash in the pan. He's just such a...
He's all moves but no words, you know? He's just so superficial and everything.
Yeah.
He's not even that good of a dancer.
Mm.
And she says that and people just stare and hush.
Like, the whole club goes silent.
Well, they're not in the club yet because I think they get turned away.
Okay.
Oh, okay, cool. So but in the street, but even in the street when she says this, just heads turn.
Yeah.
They're walking past the line. Into the club.
Yeah.
And someone shout, pissed and peed as a king.
literally. And
do you have a pineapple crown? I think not.
Take your cracked monocle and get out of here.
Oh,
so they
God.
Get to the front of the line and yeah. then they like get stopped at the door. And they're like, no. And then they're like, oh, no, but I love Piston Pete. Can I get in, please, please, please? And then they look through the doors and Piston Pete's just like passing by. And,
yeah.
And they go, what about these guys? And Piston Pete's like, nah.
No.
And then he's
that
like,
one's not a believer.
They get kicked. Well, they get like get kicked out. It barely registers for him. He's just like, nah. And then he's like, okay, we've got to sneak in. So they sneak into the club.
Right.
Emma Stone goes in, even though she doesn't want to be there.
Yeah.
This is the point at which Piston Pete sees Emma Stone and is like, whoa.
Wow.
Like, they're like dancing in the club. And people start like, this is the point at which we establish that Kevin Bacon is a good dancer.
Yeah.
Just naturally a good dancer with all his human parts. He's a good dancer. And then he's starting to have a little commotion around him. Like, everyone's like, oh, this guy's pretty good, man.
Yeah. They're all yeah. just in a circle watching him dance on the disco floor, yeah.
And then...
instead of all, like, primary colours, it's all browns and greys and stuff on the disco floor because it's steampunk.
Yeah.
it's like old sepia tone.
But, like, you've got these... Like Blade Runner style, you've got these very bright neon things amongst
all this.
Liquid. Like... The decorations of this club are like lava lamps.
Yeah.
They have all this weird goop going in and out of various parts of the...
actual lava.
Yeah.
Yes. That's what it is.
The time machine, like...
Yeah.
And the fog machines are literally just steam machines.
Yeah,
rigged on the side.
just people getting blasted in the face with steam.
Yeah, with hot steam. It's unsafe, but they don't care.
Everyone's hair's so fuzzy because they've just like, got steam everywhere.
That's how the big hairdo style came in the 1970s. It was because of the fact that they were just constantly being blasted with hot steam.
That's incredible.
So
good.
So he's causing a bit of a commotion in the club.
Yeah.
And then Piston Pete walks down and you see him come through this golden shimmering curtain.
Oh, amazing.
Or brass shimmering curtain.
Yeah.
And he like passes away and everyone's like, and then everything stops and Piston Pete walks out into the circle that Kevin Bacon's created.
Yeah.
Doesn't even lock eyes with Kevin Bacon and says to Emma Stone, hey, you wanna like come into the VIP dance club thing?
You look like a girl that should be dancing with the professionals around here.
Yeah, and so she gets kind of carted off into the VIP. Like
she says no, but
then like the pressure is on her to go in there. She's like, I'll meet you outside, I guess.
Yeah.
Because I imagine that
there's
she's
someone in the crowd that goes, you ungrateful bitch!
she's gonna have an ambition, right?
She caves quite quickly under crowd pressure.
Oh, it could be a case of at first she's just like, no, I don't. I have no interest in you whatsoever. Yeah. And he's like, well, if you want your little friend to stay in here, then you will come dance with me. No one says no.
Oh,
and so she looks at Kevin Bacon and is just like, she knows how much that he really wants to be here. And like,
and Kevin Bacon isn't hearing this.
Yeah, no. Yeah. He's busy.
He's off at the bar getting...
trying to get some lava drinks or whatever. drinking in steampunk time.
Some hot lava.
And so she's like, oh, I'd be so... like, I've already almost gotten kicked out. We went through so much effort to break in here.
Yeah.
All right, fine.
There was a whole heist scene.
Yeah, exactly. Montage heist scene already in there.
But like, I want to say that she has a passion for the the pneumatics and all that mechanics. She's like a mechanic at heart. She tinkers.
Absolutely.
And so when she sees the opportunity to see like the people, because the people in there are all modded like Piston Pete are.
Yeah.
Like the people in here, it's like a class system, right? If you can afford it, if you're cool enough, if you're close enough to the king, then you get modded. And so she wants to look and see all the modifications because she's like, that's pretty cool.
Yeah. And also she has a suspicion that the king John Travolta is
Piston Pete.
Yeah, Pistol Pete. I forgot the name. I'm so sorry.
Piston.
Pistol Pete was my father, please. Piston Pete is potentially using some illegal modifications to his mods. And so she really wants to, not only because she's fascinated by it, but she wants to try, see what's going on.
Yeah, see
because
what
she thinks that he's not a worthy king.
Okay. Just gonna remind everyone, the film's called Pneumatic Lovers.
There's definitely some love in here.
Chill your fucking beans.
We haven't forgot.
So, yeah, cool. This happens. Kevin Bacon's put out.
Yeah.
But she does discover something.
Yeah.
But she gets caught finding out. Yeah. Now they know that she knows.
Oh, and I keep getting it. Piston Pete is like, so you found out my secret, right? Well, you know, mods aren't all good things. And they take her into a back room and start modding her so she can't talk. So she has like this massive neon pipe going round her face.
Yeah.
She looks like, what's his name? Immortan Joe from Mad Max.
Yes.
In the meantime, Kevin Bacon goes to her workshop.
Yeah, thinking that she went back there.
Yeah. Can't find her. Sees her research on mods.
Yeah.
Sees, has seen her maybe, like, a little bit further down that another scene, he goes to scope out the club to find out where she is, sees her disappearing into a back room, like kind of running away from him.
Yeah.
She doesn't want him to see her like this.
Yeah.
But he sees like the trail of the steam. Like he sees
specks of like neon lava going as one of the pipes are leaking.
Oh my God, she's modified herself. So he goes back to the workshop and starts working on himself.
Yeah.
Starts replacing parts. He starts replacing his legs.
Yeah, after a moment where he has this clarification because he's torn, obviously, because his grandfather was the first king who didn't have modifications. He was the real dancer, and he respects his grandfather a lot. Who was obviously played by Ian McKellen.
Yeah.
So he's there like, what do I do? Like, I need to go save her. Like, something's going on. I can't compete the way I am. I'm not like you.
Yeah, the disco, his grandfather, the Disco King, was completely mod free.
Yeah.
No mods there.
Yeah, exactly. And so Ian McKellen is just like, you do what you have to do.
The ghost of Ian McKellen.
Yes.
He's a head in the jar, Ian McKellen.
He sets himself up. It's a head in the jar, but it's not an animate head in the jar. It's just a head in the jar.
Yeah.
He sets himself up with his granddad's head in the jar.
Yeah.
Like there, it's like a portrait, but like preserved. In this like glowing green liquid.
There aren't any portraits anymore. He sets himself up
for the robots to perform the surgery on him.
Yeah.
And he puts himself under anesthetic.
Yeah.
And then has the spirit journey sort of like feel of sort of like coming, the atonement, what is it, the meeting with the goddess sort of moment.
Yeah.
Where he sees clarity of what he's got to do.
Yeah.
He mods himself. He wakes up and he sets all his mods to like kick down door mode.
Yeah. But proper like disco style kick down door. Yeah. You have the classic like shebang, whatever it happens.
Metaphorical kick down door mode.
He like relentlessly modifies himself.
Yeah.
And to the point where he busts into the club.
Yeah.
Wows the whole audience. He's kind of disguised now because he's unrecognizable as this sort of like, he is completely head to toe in silver.
Everyone thinks like, oh God, this must be like a newcomer, like VIP
guy. They call him the Mercurial Man because he's just like got that
quicksilver,
like goldfish bowl quicksilver feel, right?
And everything's all of the neon lights is all like this bright blue, which is not really used.
Yes. And he gets into the VIP club.
Yeah.
Sees Emma Stone. At which point, like, she doesn't recognize him.
Yeah.
where do we go from here? I'm rubbish at rom-coms. I'm rubbish at romances. Really yeah. bad right. at them. Where do we go from there? Because he's now, like, we've got the kind of masquerade, the Shakespearean masquerade feel going on yeah. now. He has to woo her, Aladdin style.
Well, yeah. Well, clearly what happens is, obviously, earlier, as we established, she is so ashamed by what's happened to her. Mm. She obviously was running off. So he's like, I can't approach her. That's half the reason why he modded himself. Is like, I need to talk to her. I need to find out what's happening. Yeah. Or I need to try. I need to see her. Mm. And so he does the proper Aladdin kind of disguises himself as someone else, lies to her about who he is. And yeah. he's just like, oh, I'm Mercury Man. Just gets a real deep kind of, you know, Channing like... Tatum. This is the point where Channing Tatum voices over Kevin Bacon.
Yeah, it's Channing Tatum, but like it's got also got that kind of metallic ring to it, like yeah. out of a mask.
Yeah, and he's just like, what a hey, do you want to dance with a real pro? And she's just awestruck by the silver and the lights, and it's just like. Absolutely, and there's a proper like dancing section going on.
Yeah, at first she doesn't like it because like she hates everyone.
Yeah,
here,
yeah,
right?
yeah.
But then he seems to be different to the others.
Yeah,
somehow.
Like he engages with her as just like he doesn't force her to dance. He's just like, yo, if you I've seen you move, you're a really good dancer. Hey, if it's your choice, but you know it's here, and they start having like an actual conversation
and
stuff.
He's doing all the bluster stuff yeah. and she's like, oh, I don't like this, and then like he orders a drink and he orders like one of the cheapest like drinks
yeah.
but it's the drink that those two always get
yeah
it's their like the thing that they share like when they're getting drinks. They get the cheapest thing on the menu. It's crap, but they are the only ones in the bar who drink it.
Yeah, and it's like a mod, like most modded people to order in order to help keep the, you know, the hydraulics and the mods working, drink like this weird kind of edible oil.
Yeah.
Like it's like glowing drinks, you know, it's like proper fancy cocktails, but they just go for a nice glass of like rum and coke.
it's bubbling with like dry ice. But,
yeah.
You know.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. You know, some fancy dry ice, you know. But yeah,
we know it's a steampunk movie.
and that's how she realizes who it is, because they're like, no modded person would ever go for a rum and coke.
And so she she gets out of sight. She drags him off like they're gonna go and like make out or something.
Yeah.
And then she like gets far enough away from they run like and he's taking her away from the whole VIP section.
Yeah.
And then she eventually manages to. That's when she can finally get the message to him that she can't speak because of this mask thing.
Yeah.
He helps her take it off. Mm. They go back to the workshop. Helps her take it off. And then they look at each other like, what have you done to yourself? And he's like, what have you done to yourself?
Exactly. There is a moment before I think there is like a little bit of danger involved in terms of the surgery process of unmodding someone. It's never been done before. Yeah. And so there is, he's like, I don't want to do this to you. What if I mess this up? Mm. And she just looks at him and it's just like, you know what to do.
Quick
and then,
flashback.
Yeah.
Their courting thing with them dancing.
Yeah.
He made such a splash as the Mercurial Man.
Yeah.
Right? Immense splash as a Mercurial Man.
Oh, absolutely.
To the point where John Travolta lost in a dance battle against
him. I was going to say there was almost like a rivalry dance on where Piston Pete comes along and is just like, hey, you're dancing with my girl. And he's like, nah, man. It's her choice. They have like a proper dance. Or...
Yeah, no. Nobody puts baby in a corner.
No.
People are leaving Piston Pete's club now.
Yeah.
Because he's been shamed. His pineapple hat's cracked.
no.
Like from dancing. Because he tried to do a spin. And like the Mercurial Man could do a spin. But
it looks more like
Piston
a melon
Pete,
now.
But Piston Pete got all his pipes tangled up.
Yeah.
And had too much stuff on,
well,
so it cracked
on
the floor.
That's the thing, Mercurial Man can do any kind of dance style, like break dance, disco dance.
He learned it all from his grandfather.
Yeah, he has a natural ability to it.
Piston Pete can only do disco dance.
Yes.
And the robot, clearly.
Yeah. No.
So anyway...
That's too obvious.
I'm aware we breezed over that part, but I think that's important because now, after the unmodding, we like it seems to be going badly.
Yeah.
But then we cut away, fade to black, fade up on the opening of a new club. It's called like Mercury Towers.
It's called Pneumatic Lovers.
Yeah, okay, fair enough. But like it's got it, but it's like, the logo is the Mercurial Man.
Much like Boogie Nights. Nothing really to do with the film.
Yeah.
But it's the name of the club that they all
But the logo is like the Mercurial Man dancing with a mysterious green masked woman.
Yeah.
And that's the end of the film.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And the final thing is that there is a new crown that has been given. And instead of a pineapple, it's a pizza. and it's a giant pizza because, you know, because the popular opinion that pineapple doesn't belong on a pizza.
The popular but wrong opinion.
Yeah, thank you. Someone else agrees. Pineapple belongs
on
pizza.
We just lost 200 listeners, unfortunately.
I'm sorry, you have no more followers or listeners.
Yes, thank you for listening, guys. I hope you've enjoyed it. You've enjoyed this steampunk episode. Thank you for coming back on, Shannon.
Thank you ever so much. I had a lot of fun yet again.
I'm glad. Where can people find you if they want to?
Okay, so I'm in a number of things all around Sheffield. I am in Shrimps, which is a university Sheffield improv place. Look out for that. Yeah, I'm also in Strike, which is another Sheffield improv group. We also do podcasts. We do a lot of, it's all improvised comedy podcasts, which can be found on SoundCloud. Type in Strike, STURIKE, and you'll find all of our backlog of there. And finally, I'm also in a university comedy theatre group called Useless, where we put on small-scale theatre shows, all for a laugh, all around comedy, and we've got a coming-up show, which you can keep an eye out on Facebook if you type in Useless, as in capital U-S-L-E-S.
Who's Les? So,
who's Les?
Who is he?
What's he been doing with my wife?
Oh,
who's Les?
Who's Les?
So, thank you for listening, guys. If you want to find us, remember to go over to Twitter at Life's Pitch Show. Remember to go to Facebook / Life's a Pitch Podcast. Same with soundcloud.com/ Life's Pitch Podcast. You find the Strike playlist that's just gone up, where all the Strike folks that have come and contributed to the show can be found.
Strike's a Pitch.
Strike's a pitch. Yeah, there you go. Here's one thing we haven't done in quite a while. You can find me on Twitter at Matt Speaks Words. That is, I realised that, you know, we're getting more Twitter followers, so I should have some of them as well.
Yeah.
So you if know. You want to communicate directly with me and tell me off for getting the dirigible thing wrong, then please do that. Tom,
mine's at Tom the Director, I believe. I haven't used it for a while because I've just been using the Lives of Pitch.
Yeah, you use Lives of Pitch.
Because the Lives of Pitch one was basically my own one anyway.
Yeah,
commenting on films and stuff. Yeah. Like, might as well do it with the Lives of Pitch show, get people listening to the show.
Absolutely. But anyway, yes, do that thing. And don't forget to go to Patreon, help us out if you were putting that off until you'd finished the show. So go over there now, patreon.com/ Lives of Pitch Podcast. Thank you for listening, everyone. And until you find yourself enthralled with a beauty, a modified beauty, and coming up against the stone wall of the post-humanist meta-human prosthetics industry. I've been Matt Turner.
I've been Tom McGrath.
And I've been Shannon Greaves.
Remember who pitched it. Bye!
Bye.
Happy Valentine's Day. Kissy time.
Kissy, kissy.
Kissy, kissy.
Kiss, kiss.
Kiss.